welcome back to Back and Forth with Pope and Nudie. Pope?
Doing good. How you doing, Nudie?
Oh, you know. Doing well, living the dream. But, yeah, the NBA season ended. So,
bummer.
Weird. Yeah, bummer. I don't know. I didn't really watch the finals too much.
Really?
I mean, I watched game one.
Okay, I was going to say, now that I think about it, oh yeah, I watched game one, but I didn't really watch anything else. So
yeah,
pretty,
I watched
after
game
that
one.
Game, it was pretty much over.
Yeah, well, so LeBron, right, like almost wins the game by himself, and then J.R. Smith had the most, like, J.R. Smith
incredible.
Moment
I loved
in the
every
world.
Second of it.
Like, oh, man, I was watching it, and oh, yeah, if I was LeBron, I would have killed him, but, you know, that's just me. But so then I think I turned on game two and the Cavaliers were down by like 20. And then I think after that, I kind of buzzed in and out of like, The game's on right now. So, but that's the world we live in right now with the Warriors and other super teams. But we're going to not talk about that. We're going to talk about the Jazz because they're the next super team.
We sure are.
We'll
get into obviously the whole free agency drafting, kind of a touch on everything here. But I mean, the Warriors do affect it. Like, the NBA's in a weird spot. Like, what, you know, nothing's going to happen until the Warriors break up. You can get lucky with injuries, but probably not going to get too lucky. Like, if Houston this year couldn't do it, like, who can? Maybe some sort of LeBron super team, obviously. But
right,
I think, you know, there's a question of like, do the Jazz want to be good this year, you know, this year, next year, or do we want to be good in like 3 years and 4 years? So
yeah,
ideally both, but we can get into kind of the differences there.
Yeah, but well, so I guess that's, but I mean, just going off of that, that's the whole issue, right? So here we are. We've got Rudy Gobert. He's 25 years old. We got Donovan Mitchell. He's 21 years old. Joe Ingles is 30, but he's only been in the NBA for like 3 years. So I don't know. He's like 40 or whatever he is.
Yeah,
and like. So we have this. We have somewhat of a young team.
All of who are under contract through 2021
or 2022. Yeah, exactly. Gobert's got another 3 years, and Mitchell's got another three years. And Mitchell, after his restricted, I mean, really, we have Mitchell for about another 9 years if we want him. Which
yeah.
You know. And so, but yeah, it's this point of like, okay, well, how long can the Warriors pay everyone on their roster?
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, yeah, how long does LeBron play in the league? Because, I mean, the guy's been to the finals every year for 8 years, right? So,
yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So tomorrow night's the draft, or tonight if you listen to it tomorrow. But the draft is coming up, right? And the question is then, we're in this weird spot of, like, there's no surefire picks.
Mm-hmm.
So do you take a guy with a higher floor but like a lower ceiling, you know what I mean? Like, he's polished, he could be good, he's going to be fine, but he's not going to ever be great. Or do you take the guy who's like, man, he could be a total bust, but if he's good, he's awesome. So I guess, what are your thoughts, Pope? What do you think the next thing we do?
Yeah, I mean, I think my just general view would be, I think we need to continue to stay young. Like, I think that we have a solid core, like you said, but getting too old of players isn't really going to do much for us. I think they're obviously, I think our GM, well, our whole front office team has done a really good job of getting in veterans on cheap money, but also still kind of staying young. And I think that's kind of what we need to do. I'd probably draft someone with a high ceiling, lower floor right now, and then just work on them as a project. I think, and this will, when we get into free agency, I also think personally, we should probably try to keep Dante Exum and things like that. So, I think just staying long is definitely an advantage we have, and that without, we're a smaller market team. We're not going to get LeBron James. We're not going to get Paul George.
What?
Sorry to break it to you, but that does still give us a lot of flexibility in that we're probably not, until Donovan Mitchell comes up for his next contract, which will probably be a max, obviously.
It better be a max.
We still have a lot of flexibility on that end because we're not shelling out for like two all-stars right now, if that makes sense.
No, I get that. No, I agree, yeah. And I think for me, you know, it's hard to say, but I think I would lean more the same way you're thinking with, you got to just, I guess what my thoughts are on the draft is the Jazz, although it's a weird position, they are in a really good position because they can just take the best player available. They don't have to say,
absolutely,
"Wow, we have a big need at, you know, at the four spot, or we're missing a point guard." We have enough solid players that really we could just look for, okay, who's the best guy? Period. Who have we evaluated as? It doesn't matter if he fits right now. We just think he's the most talented and the best player, you know. And so I think that's going to be interesting to see what the Jazz view that as, or what they view that as, and if they end up trading that pick or not.
Our roster is definitely flexible enough that we can take in depth at any position and then kind of shift guys around.
Yeah, and so that's where, you know, going on to that, we've got these four guys. I would say three, because I think Royce O'Neal is a lock to be keep. They're obviously gonna pick up his option.
I think Royce O'Neal might still be on contract, but it's like extremely cheap or something. There's something weird with Royce O'Neal.
I think technically it's a non-guaranteed contract.
Oh, sure.
So we could cut him, but I think it costs us like $1 million.
It's 1.3, I think.
It's terrible. But
yeah.
I think for sure we've got Tabo Sefolosha, and then Epe Udo and Jonas Rebko, who are all fine. They're fine players. They're not like outstanding, but they're good.
Totally.
But they're also on these contracts where they're really friendly for other teams who might need a trade. But they're also good, like you were saying, to keep our financial flexibility. So I guess, what do you think is going to be happening there? Do you think we're going to keep all of them?
I think that's a solid core. Thabo's a real question mark just because of his injury and just his age. We only have him for one more year at $5 million, obviously.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, and the marijuana charge that's going to make him be suspended for.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
I think it's only four games, though.
Heaven forbid he try to dull his pain from getting attacked by police in New York. But that's a whole other thing. Anyways, so I think those are all pretty favorable. Jerebko was honestly really good in his minutes for us, especially. He's only $4 million. I think those are all great pickups. Udo is awesome. Udo's a great just like backup center who, if we end up getting someone else in that spot, he can shift to the third depth string and third deep, and it's not like we're not overpaying him for that. You know what I mean? We're pretty underpaying him to be our second guy there. So I think all those are really good. The one I would have, the one I think is probably not on our team, is Alec Burks. An $11 million expiring. I think he probably gets moved. In what sort of deal? That's a fair bit of money for him. If that's some sort of dump, you know, second round pick, Alec Burks for some other, you know, $8 million, $9 million contract. I don't know.
Sure.
But he could be a part of some weird three-way team trade just to make salaries work with his expiring contract and the $11 million on it. So who knows? I think he's one that probably gets moved. There's some weird stuff you can do with that. But everyone else, I think, we'll definitely hold on to solid money.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Thabo is a – I think he's a lock because, you know, Dennis Lindsay and Quinn Snyder talked about the impact he had on the team. Talked about – what he brought, and so I think they really want to see what he can do healthy, and just listening to their interviews, it sounds like they're really curious to see, like, how could he have helped in the Houston series, how could he have helped in the OKC, you know, so
yeah.
I think he's there. Jerebko, I think the best part about Jerebko is he barely played last year, but he liked being here, and the reality is, it's similar to Neto, you kind of need players like that who... they're unselfish enough to understand that, like, hey, I'm not the best player on the team, but when I'm ready, when it's my turn to play, I'm going to go out and play.
Right. Jerebko also. Last thing on Jerebko, he also space. He's a decent enough 3-point shooter that he gives some spacing, which is nice on those bench lineups.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I totally agree on that.
Last
one.
Thing on him, yeah.
And Udo, for me, I really like Udo. And beginning of the year, he was like awesome.
Yeah.
To me, though, he seems like the most likely, if there were to be one they don't pick up, that seems like the guy, whether it be they give his minutes to Tony Bradley, the rookie from last year, or I saw today that Kyle O'Quinn, the center for the Knicks, opted out of his contract, you know, so whether they say, like, let's go for someone like that.
Yeah.
I think they'll all pick up the option, I guess, for him.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't think all of them will be on the team come fall. If that makes sense, I think.
Sure, yeah.
I think Burks and another one of those guys is going to get moved just inevitably to make room for another player.
I mean, the window on all those contracts, the Thabo, Drebko, Royce O'Neal, Udo, that's all. It's July 9th is the window on all those, so not too much time after free agency starts, obviously. So
they'll have to figure something out. Right. And so we'll see what happens. And then, you know, like going into that, then the free agency, that's the next big issue, right? So we have these player options we got to pick up. But we also got, I mean, Exum's a restricted free agent, so we have somewhat more control over that. But Favors and Neto, they're just unrestricted. Mm. And I think looking at Neto, for me, he's like, I love him on the team, and I love what he brings. And I actually think he plays really well. But if there's an option to sign someone else, I think Neto loses his spot.
Yeah, if he was just getting $1 million a year for 3 years. If we can get someone, re-signing him is going to be more money probably. That's just how that works with any you're signing with the same team. If we can find someone else who does the same job at that money, we'll just get them. I like Neto. He shoots super, super limited, but he actually has a decent three-point shooting rate when he does take him. Obviously, that could be against the lineups he's playing against. And he's shot like less than 50 in the season, which is like not a decent sample size at all. But I think just based on and his past seasons, I bet he probably could shoot okay. I like him. He has a nice energy for those kind of lineups. But I think just not enough that we want to spend more than we have to on him.
Yeah. Well, I agree, but I guess I agree with you on all that with the shooting too, but the other thing I liked about watching him play is he seemed to understand what Quinn Snyder wanted him to do in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And he could run the offense, you know, albeit with his physical limitations or, you know, lack of athleticism, things like that. But he was solid. He played tough defense and he would play well, but I think he's the expendable one in that group.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think excellent Favors. And if you listen to Dennis Lindsay's exit interviews, it confirms it too. Favors and Exum are big priorities for the Jazz. And I personally would like to see them both back. Exum, it'll be interesting to see what offer sheets he gets, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's going to be the question.
You know, because I think if it's $8 million a year or below, it's no question the Jazz match it. I think if you get over $10 million, that's when the Jazz maybe start thinking, how much do we want this?
I think the Jazz probably like him a lot. The injury concerns are just too much. I'm hoping that those bring his value down enough that we're able to match as a no-brainer, because I would also like to keep Exum around. And he just – when he is playing, he still shows all those flashes that he showed. I feel like he's just kind of always – for his very first year, he was extremely, extremely rough. But since then, I feel like he's just constantly been like, oh, wow, that was pretty good. Like, that was a nice little layup, nice spin move there, some good shooting. But there's not enough of that, coupled with his injury concerns, that anything over $10 million, I think I'd be in that same boat. I'd maybe go $10 million for like 3 years. I think that's okay. That lines up with the rest of our players contract-wise.
Yeah.
I think even
if it was like a 2 year with a third year team option or something.
Sure, yeah.
Then and if it was a maybe bigger contract and they had a team option built in, I could see him say like, well, let's give it a shot, and if not, then you either use him as a trade piece because he's got expiring or you know.
Or if we can get something like 7.5 with like a player option at the end or something.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That'd definitely be worth it.
And I'm with you. I think that just real quick on him.
Sure.
So his first year was rough, right? But his defense was awesome. Like,
yes.
He was always a good defender. I think last year the biggest change I saw was it looked like he was – I don't know if it was confidence or whatever, but he got this quick first step where he could blow past guys. Whoever was guarding him, he could just get past him, and he's long and he's quick. And he had that long layup where he could – I mean, you know, he's tall –
he's all athletic, arms and legs, yeah.
But the hard part, like you already said, it's just a sample size thing. Like,
yeah.
how, you know, is he that good, or how sustainable is that, or is that more of like a, oh, cool, you know?
Yeah, and just that his the sample size has been inhibited by all these bad injuries. Right, like, none of these injuries have been something where, like, little knocks he picks up here and there. Because, I mean, that's bad, but these have been major injuries he's got.
Torn ACL, a separated shoulder on your shooting shoulder.
It's bad.
Yeah, bad.
So the big one that we should probably dig into and dive into is Favors. I'm leaning farther away from not having Favors personally right now.
Really? So you don't want him to keep him?
So that's the I just think he's going to be too much money. I think his position and his skill set, though he's never really developed kind of the slightly outside threat that we kind of hoped he'd be. Though, you know, he's tried taking threes a little bit, obviously, and nothing's really come of it. I just think he's going to get he's just going to be too expensive. I also think, I mean, that's the main thing. I just think he's going to be too expensive. I think there are other options I'm interested in, but the problem, we're just in one of those situations where, there are players like, I mean, one I'm personally really high on. I would love to have Aaron Gordon in the Derek Favors spot.
Ooh, really?
Who can somewhat space out the floor. Enough of it, not great shooting, but enough where he can actually space a little bit at more than Favors can. He definitely lacks the defense that Favors has, but he has shown flashes of good defense, which I think is something we could coach into him. Obviously, it's not something he's totally incapable of. He'd be my ideal spot for there. The problem is he's a restricted free agent. There are other people who could also fit that spot, but none of them are probably going to be as good as Favors would outside of Aaron Gordon, I think. So it's in that tricky middle spot where do we want to go all in on him and then overpay him, or do we want to try to get someone else who's cheaper and maybe even better, but we end up not getting them and then we're kind of stuck.
Sure. Yeah, so I will say earlier in the year, I think I was kind of like, Favors is good, we'll see what happens. Towards the end, I'm kind of all in on Favors. I actually would really like him to keep him. I think he provides good depth at the center position with Gobert resting. I think it's nice to have one of those guys on. His three-point shot, you know, in his exit interview, he talked about, like, how he's really worked on it and showed he's good at it. I don't agree with that.
Not at all. That's like, incorrect.
I actually have a few memories of a few corner threes he took in the season that were, like, complete air balls or, like, just terrible. And it was, like,
I mean, he only took 63 in the season, and he made 14 of them. Like, I don't know what he's even talking about there. That's not enough to judge, but two, you made 14.
I am with you. I guess my thing with Favors is I like the defensive identity they've built, and I think he's a part of that in some ways.
Sure, absolutely.
As well as, I'm not as high on Aaron Gordon as some people are.
I love Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, so see, I don't know, like, I guess for me, it kind of looks more like, just from the eye test, whatever that even means, and even if you have that, it looks more like, oh, he's on a bad team, and so of course he's their leading scorer. Like, it's either him or Mario Hezonja, or, like, I mean, I don't even know who else is, Jonathan Simmons, they signed that D-League player from the Spurs, right? And so for me, I don't really see that, and I don't really know who I would insert into the starting lineup. Like, I don't know who they could get realistically that would fit there. Something I will say I think has been interesting as I've been reading about it and thinking about it is the Wizards, right? They have, like, the 14th pick or 15th pick in the draft, something tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they said they are willing to trade that pick as long as the other team will take salary, like, their salary onto them.
Sure.
So they've got Markieff Morris.
Right.
Or Marcus, one of those Morris twins.
Marcus.
Yeah,
No, they have Markieff.
I think it's Markieff on the Wizards, and Marcus is on the Celtics.
You're right. You got it, yeah.
But, you know, so he's a stretch four. He's not awesome, but he's a stretch four.
He kind of fills the Jay Crowder role.
Yeah, but I think that, to me, is a little interesting if it's like, if we lose out on Favors and we could get another pick in the draft plus a guy, you know, I might be interested in that.
Sure.
But I think Favors and Exum for me, I think Favors is all in. They should try and get him. but unless the salary obviously is,
I just don't know.
It's what you said. I think he'll be expensive, and there, except for that Kyle O'Quinn from the Knicks, there's no big men on the market really.
That's the thing, is it's possible the market is just completely dry and no one really offers him too much, and then we can keep him. That I'd be in, if it's not too expensive, I'm totally in on it. The main thing I would say against the defensive identity thing is I 100% agree with you. I think he was core to that identity, and him and Gobert really clicked. Right, I mean, right when our team clicked, they really clicked together, sure. And we made that work. I just still think just in today's NBA, you're just going to get run off the floor with that kind of lineup. Playing, the only reason Gobert even works is that he's just a blocking and rebounding and defensive monster. Defensive player of the year caliber, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. I get that. I can.
Otherwise, you're just, you know, you're trying to play Gortat still at the five or something like that. You know, some similar just tall screener rebounder guy, and those they are just bad nowadays.
Gortat.
You know, like
Greg Monroe.
Yeah, Greg Monroe.
Drummond.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're just playing that. So, Gobert's defensive just. He's next level defensive play, keeps him on the floor. And then I just think playing Gobert just leaves us not enough spacing, especially if we keep Rubio. I mean, Rubio, we only have – he's an expiring contract next year too. It seems like Rubio really liked the team and we really liked Rubio. He had that amazing first-round playoff series, which is really fun. But Rubio just can't shoot enough. And he actually made a lot of good strides on our team, but not enough where – I just don't think we, even with Ingles and Mitchell and Ruby, I just don't think that's enough shooting. And I think between the three of them, outside of Ingles, obviously, I just think Mitchell and Rubio isn't enough shooting. So by proxy, I think Favors just kind of clogs things up too much under the hoop. And that's why someone like Aaron Gordon, who's a little more mobile, who can stay out on the line and actually be a threat. I think there is definitely some good player on a bad team. He's also 22. Like, I mean, this is his second contract. I don't know if he's very coachable, but I know we have a very talented coaching team. So I wouldn't be opposed to having them have a crack at him. I just think that there's just not, the defensive presence is amazing, but I don't think that outweighs the lack of shooting.
Yeah. Okay. I can live with that. And I buy the, I get where you're coming from. I can, you know what, Gordon at 22, that makes sense. I could, and he is more mobile. That's true. He's athletic. He can take it off the dribble and drive it to the hoop. Like, he's good. I can see that.
Totally. But I mean, I'm not obviously. Also, a lot of this is influenced by money. Gordon's a restricted free agent. Obviously, if we offer him something decent, he gets matched. Like, I don't think it's worth it going up too crazy for him.
Right.
If Favors ends up being cheaper because based on like a small big man market, what, go for it. He's really good still. We were a monster defensively. It's definitely worth it. I just think it's not – I don't think we just should go throw everything in on Favors and never look back. Obviously, I don't think the front office has done that at all, but I think there are some other outside options. Gordon being my favorite of them that we'd be into.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I can see that. And I think kind of what we're talking about, like that, I think this is why Favors is such a polarizing thing for a lot of Jazz fans, is it's, I think people are undecided on what does this team need.
Yeah.
Because I really think, like, you know, this last year, I'll be honest, going into the year, and if you listen to our podcast from last year when we draft, like before we drafted Mitchell, neither one of us thought anything was going to happen. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it was totally a tank year. It was totally a, Gobert is good. At least he's under contract for 3 years. And
I think I texted you sometime in January about how we should tank it. We should shut it all down.
Yeah, you even got on team.
Early January, obviously. But.
Yeah, and you know, and so we caught on to this. Like, but then like the Jazz just turned into this electric team.
Yeah.
And they.
Such a fun season.
And you know what? We got creamed by Houston. That's true. But I think what's lost in that is we also won a game on the road. Like, yeah, it's just one game, but without your starting point guard against James Harden and Chris Paul and all those guys, to be able to even get one win, like, I don't know. They're exciting, and I don't think anyone expected it, so it's now like, well, what do we do next? Like,
yeah.
Like, so we do, you know, and I think the number one thing for our team is we just need more playmakers that – what I mean by that, we can need more people that can move with the ball.
Absolutely.
You know, I think if you look at our roster, we have got Mitchell, who you can count on him to create a shot. If we need one, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, Ingles is a spot-up shooter. Royce O'Neal is more of a spot-up shooter. Thomas Cephalosha is like a move off the ball and take a shot. Gobert is a roll to the basket. There's not one guy who you pass it to. Like, Alec Burks and Dante Exum were the closest thing we had to, like, a secondary driving force. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what's hard, because it's, do we keep Favors and sacrifice maybe some of that playmaking ability? Like you said, if you've got Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Favors, Gobert on the court, you've got Ingles who can shoot from three and Mitchell, and other than that.
Yeah, and Mitchell also needs to take some strides on that. So.
Oh yeah, he does. There's no question he needs to grow more on it.
If you look at his like shots attempted, it's insane. Like it's like way more than even Ingles and everything.
There's no question he needs
My dream, I wrote this down just in our planning, my dream player for this would be Danny Green. He's old, but he would fit that perfectly. Someone who can shoot, someone who can play make, isn't like a point guard, but can get you something when you need it. He's a player option. He's on the Spurs, probably not going to opt out. But I think someone like that, who just kind of fits all those roles, would slide in perfectly. And just can be some, he could fit pretty much any spot in that lineup. Like we could swap that sort of player out for Ingles, out for Rubio, out for Mitchell, and it would work well. And depending on all our lineup, even out for Favors.
That
probably wouldn't work. But if we had enough shooting, we could try. But.
Well, I agree, and I think Danny Green would be awesome, and he's actually not a bad defender either.
No, absolutely.
And he comes from the San Antonio, which is where Dennis Lindsay came from. Quinn Snyder was in there, just you know. The Jazz, in a lot of ways, are trying to emulate the Spurs. I would be ecstatic if Danny Green signed with Utah.
I would be psyched. He's my ideal player. Who it's even in the realm of possibility. He still has to opt out. The rumors, last I checked, it was looking like maybe he would. All the Spurs fan sites were thinking he might opt out. So who knows?
Yeah, I know.
Especially
if
this Kawhi thing goes south.
I know. Kind of. Who knows what's going on in San Antonio? If Kawhi leaves, Parker, Ginobili, and Popovich should all retire, and then it just turns into like a who knows what's going on there.
Yeah.
But I think Green would be great, and I think what you said is like a good point. Is he could sub in for anyone, because really the NBA, the bottom line is the NBA is switching to positionless basketball.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Warriors, Durant is tall, but essentially with Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Iguodala on the court, you got five guys that guard everyone.
Yeah.
You know, they switch, or what Houston did to us in their series, they switch every single screen. It takes away the pick and roll. It takes away a lot of ball movement because – you know, it's kind of the trend that the NBA is heading, and I think Danny Green would fit well. You know, a lineup of Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Green, and Gobert in the middle, I don't know if that's terrible, truthfully. I think there would be benefit to that.
Absolutely.
And he also is a good three-point shooter. He adds that. For me, a playmaker I like and I think – I can't remember if it's a player option or if he's just unrestricted. Mm-hmm. I know the Nuggets like him, but Will Barton on the Denver Nuggets.
Will Barton. I was looking at him, yeah.
Yeah, so I like him. He's a good shooter. He can create off the ball.
He's unrestricted. Unrestricted.
Yeah, unrestricted. So, you know, he probably is going to be a little – I think he's got a potential to have a big contract or bigger. So I don't know if that would price us out of it, but I actually think he would also fit a similar role. He's a little more undersized than Green, but I think he would fit that same idea of this guy who can come in, take shots, take some pressure off the rest of the team, and do well.
I would be way in on Will Barton. I really like him also. He shoots great, and he would fit perfectly. Like you say, a little undersized, so we probably need someone in the four slot. Obviously, we probably couldn't try anything too crazy small ball-wise. But he'd be a great fit for that playmaking. Hey, go get a bucket role that he did off the bench for the Nuggets, but probably could do – both off the bench and in limited starter minutes for us.
Right, and that's what I think is another big key. I think if you could get a guy who's okay coming off the bench, or, you know, Jamal Crawford is another example. He just opted out in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's like 38, so who knows on that one, really. But, like, if you had a guy that – because, you know, Mitchell subbed out, and we didn't have anyone that could create a shot. And we had great ball movement, and that works awesome. But sometimes you need a guy who can just take it. You know what I mean? So – it'll be interesting. I don't know. I think those are interesting guys. So I think beyond just playmaking, though, we need 3-point shooting. It's like you said.
Yeah.
Rubio got better, and I liked Rubio a lot. And he actually, I really liked him a lot. That especially that last month or two of the season, he was great. And then they had that triple double in the playoffs. You know, did awesome. But teams are not afraid of him.
No.
Like if the option is to double team Mitchell and leave Rubio open, they're gonna do that every time.
Yeah, every time.
And so we need more shooters who can space it out, for the team, really.
Yeah, the two fairly realistic guys I've kind of looked at for that: Wayne Ellington from the Heat, pretty good shooter. He would be great to just like, if we had some, you know, weird late, you know, second corner lineup where like Rubio's off the floor, but we still have in Mitchell and like Gobert or something like that. He'd be a great addition to that and could just shoot and get us, you know, have those lineups push past whatever. Maybe if the opponent was trying to catch up to us, he would just be able to shoot out in those. That'd be really good. Joe Harris,
you're saying?
Yeah, Wayne Ellington. He's the I'd really like him in that. The other guy I looked at was Joe Harris, who fits our role perfectly, is just some random tall white guy. So definitely fits the Jazz's profile already.
Ideal for Utah.
But really, he's just like a 11 points a game bench guy from the Nets, who started out just like end of the bench and ended up being near the top of the bench and shot really well and actually was somewhat decent on defense. So those are the two main guys those are actually like realistic ones compared to even Gordon or especially Danny Green. I'd be into both of those.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Ellington, I like. I can't remember what his what it was. I mean, he shot like 39% from three last year.
Yeah.
But if I remember right, David Locke on the radio or on his podcast.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's all like the stats guy.
Yeah.
I think it was him who did it. But, like, Ellington on, like, corner threes was, like, something ridiculous, like 60% or 55% or something. And so I think Ellington would be great. Joe Harris, I'll be honest, I just haven't watched enough of him to know. I've seen him be – he's a pretty trendy guy of, like, hey, that's a good player.
Yeah, I think his metrics are just, like, especially really good, too.
And I think that's appealing because in those advanced analytics, in the Jazz lineup where he's not at, like, he'd be in a similar role but on a better team, I think that would only improve everything.
Yeah.
And so I would like that. I'd like those two pickups. I think Ellington and Joe Harris are great guys. Of note, David Stockton, 66% three-point shooter. So just to keep that in mind. But, you know, other three-point shooters, another guy, David Locke, Locke was the one who mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias Harris on the Clippers. He's not a free agent. He's got another year on his contract. But Locke reported that he's interested in joining the Jazz because he thinks the team would be good for him.
Sure.
And that's a guy who is like a, you know, he's like a 6'9".
Yeah, I really like Tobias Harris a lot. He's really good.
He's underrated, but he'd be good. And so I'd be interested in, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Clippers. Like, are they going to trade DeAndre Jordan and just kind of go all out? Or would they be willing to move players around? But I think that's an interesting guy to keep in mind. But I don't know. You know, I think he's unrealistic. I think Ellington and Joe Harris, especially Joe Harris, to me, seems like a realistic signing for the Jazz.
Totally.
You know, there's been all this talk of like, well, Mitchell is recruiting people and the Jazz are a good destination now. Free agents aren't scared of them. But I don't think we're quite to that level yet.
Definitely not. Like, well, I mean, I'll see it. I'll believe it when
Jazz,
I see it, but.
Yeah. I appreciate Jazz fandom on, like, Twitter of, like, man, everyone's come play with us, and I, like, in my head being like, yeah, everyone's coming here. But the reality is, you know, they're not. And I think Joe Harris, as that under-the-radar guy who he's just solid in what he does, would be a good pickup.
Salt Lake City, everyone. We're going to get Paul George. We're going to get everybody.
I can't wait for Paul George and LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard to all sign with Utah this season.
Going to get the real playoff P up in here.
Did you see that article, side note, from, like, I think Bleacher Report of, like, this is the reason why LeBron James should join Utah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that. That made that definitely made the Jazz rounds. Like,
and I saw that shared like, this by is those, awesome. Like,
three different and, like, Jazz sources, yeah.
And, like, 30 different like 30 different times in the article, he's like, LeBron is never going there.
Yeah.
He's, let me emphasize, this is just all purely speculation of, like, what would happen if he were, but he's never going to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know, but I think, and we kind of talked about Aaron Gordon and all these other guys, but I think another, listening to the exit interview from Dennis Lindsay, I think the biggest key is internal development. As far as what he views as the most important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he mentioned in his interviews that they're in the process of analyzing their team and figuring out if that big run they had, that 29-6 win streak, you know, if that's a sustainable winning percentage or if that was more of a maybe a fluke.
Well, it's definitely not a sustainable percentage, but I don't think it was a fluke at all. I mean, this gets into the last thing we talk about, but, like, Mitchell, Gobert, Ingles, those are great players.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gobert is a Ingles, defensive player of the year. Ingles is one of the best shooters in the league, just, like, period. That's just true.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mitchell's Dwayne Wade. I mean, that those are awesome players. I mean, obviously, we're not going to go on – we're not going to be, like, 60 and 15 or whatever, like, we're not going to go on some insane win streak again.
Dude, we're going to win 73 games next year.
Yeah,
awesome.
we're going to win 74. we're going to be, I mean, yeah, I probably don't think we're a 50 win team either. I mean, depends on how free agency goes and how we gel, but
yeah,
high 40. True. My early prediction, even without knowing who is on our team next year, would probably be high 40s. But I just think that core is just so good that I think that sort of spirit that also transferred over to the playoffs is definitely, like, that sort of identity that we built will remain, and that will help us win games.
Yeah. And I think what you said, Ingles is, to me, Ingles is, yeah, he's low-key top 10 small forward in the NBA. Like, you got LeBron, obviously, best. Like, no question, right? And then you got like Kevin Durant, depending on how you classify what position he's in.
Sure.
And, you know, you got all these wings, but I mean, Joe Ingles shoots great from a 3-pointer, and he plays tough defense. You know, like Paul George, yeah, he was insane that game one, but Ingles got into him, got into his head. The year before, Ingles was in charge of guarding J.J. Redick, got him to, you know, shut him down in that Clippers series. Like, Ingles is underrated in what he does, but he's okay with that. And I think that's why he compliments Gobert and Mitchell so well.
Yeah.
Because he's cool not starting. He's cool starting. All he does is play hard and try to win. And so it's like you said, they got that great thing. And so without even knowing what we end up doing, I'm with you. I'd say 48 wins is realistic. That's where we got this year, right? We're just right about there.
Yeah.
And I think a full season of Gobert healthy, a full season of Mitchell, like, he knows what to expect in the NBA season now. He's going to get hard coaching over the summer. You know, Snyder's going to be in his ear, and really, you know, that's just who they are. They hate that relationship. They have that. And all indications are Mitchell's very coachable. And wants to be better.
Yeah, super coachable, yeah. All those stories about him, like, watching film and then doing it the next day.
Oh, like, yeah.
Tons
of
those stories from tons of different – in Jazz and outside Jazz. That's not just, like, David Locke or whatever. Just, like, sources in the Jazz
the 1280 The Zone crew.
Yeah.
No, but – Well, that – ESPN did the whole article where they went and sent a reporter to sit in a film session with Mitchell and Quinn Snyder.
Yeah.
And that was really intriguing. But, you know, so I think it is solid. I just, I think we just need we need another playmaker one way or another.
Yeah.
We need someone who can
for
score.
Sure.
And we knew that, you know, going into last year, everyone knew that. Everyone looked at it and said, wow, the Jazz traded for every good defensive player, but who can't play offense? You know?
Who's going to make shots, yeah.
Like, that was the whole issue last year. And Mitchell turned up, and it was like, oh, yay, we have someone to make shots.
Oh, hey, we have one person to make shots. No, I mean, that's an exaggeration, obviously. Joe Ingles is an excellent shooter, but we need someone.
But not a shot creator.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And this, like, and this is something, this is something we'll get into long term, but how does Rubio actually fit into this core, you know? Like, that's still, I think, an open question.
Oh, yeah. And, well, and, like, well, because how many years does Rubio have left on his contract?
He is next year. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just next. Yeah, and that's what the Jazz have to figure out, I think, this offseason and next season.
Yeah.
Like, is Rubio, has, can Rubio do enough damage shooting-wise to command respect? You know, because I also don't think Rubio necessarily needs to be a three-point shooter that's shooting 40%.
No,
in this.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, that mid-range game where he comes off a screen and he takes a pull-up jumper, for me, if he could consistently hit something similar to that, or little floaters or something creative around the basket, that's going to be the key, right? Because that's – and I think – and we'll get more into this, obviously, in other times, but, like, I think the Jazz are going to go into the next season with the team as similar to last year as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, based on the first few months of the season, I think the Jazz are going to do, they'll either pull a trigger and make a trade, or they're going to make an indication that this is what we're riding with and we think it's going to work. What I mean by that is, I think if by next January it looks like we're kind of plateaued, like that's maybe we reach potential, I think they'll look around to see who they could add. I think they'll say, okay, what's the weak link, and untouchable are Mitchell, Gobert, and Ingles.
Yeah.
Other than that, give us your best offer. You know,
I mean, yeah, I mean, we're still, you look at this team and yeah, like playmaking would be the focus, but we're still a guy away. Like we're still a starter away.
Yeah.
And whether
and
that slots into favor spot or that slots in slots into Rubio spot, who knows, or some other strange lineup, but we're definitely a starter, like a go-to guy away.
Yeah, I agree. So, but I don't know, the future's bright. It looks like it's good. Draft is tomorrow night. I'd say watch it, see what happens.
All I'm saying is for the future is that my last thing on the future, Trey Burke is a free agency in 2019. That's all I'm saying. He's a free agent, 2019. Think about it.
You heard it here first, Jazz Nation.
Coming home.
To the Jazz. Confirmed!
Can we play that? Do we do one of the video montages? We play the coming home song?
Could he write an article that says, like, thank you, Utah, and, or I'm coming home? Or
my next chapter, I'm going home to Utah.
Side note, Deron Williams. He's been in Utah the last few days. He went to the Jazz practice facility, was practicing there.
Oh, really? Oh, I saw something about that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he like just posted on something. I don't remember what.
Hey, like no one, I'm not on any teams anymore, so.
It was something like.
What's up with you guys?
He posted like, it looks different than last time I was here. It's like, well, duh, moron. It's been like 10 years. Or 8 years, however long it's been. But,
well, duh, that's because you ran Jerry Sloan out of here, you monster.
That's why we hate you. He also posted on, like, Twitter or something, a picture of him at Lagoon. And apparently some guy was wearing a Deron Williams jersey and didn't even recognize him.
Never mind. Do I like Deron Williams now?
I know. It's like, I don't know how I feel. He's been at Lagoon. But yeah. No, future is bright, though. Future is
it
bright.
Is.
And after the post-draft and post-free agency, once that all settles, we'll come back and take a look at what we expect to happen. And hopefully the outlook is still bright after that. But
I mean, I think it is. Just Mitchell, Gobert, Ingles. Like, that is such a good core. We're one guy away, but being one guy away is way better than being multiple guys away. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
It's a stupid podcast thing to say, but we're close.
We are. And my last thing is just, it's what you said. You know, the year we broke through with Hayward and George Hill and Joe Johnson, right, went to the playoffs. It was awesome, but this is a different level of excitement. And I think it's just that we have everyone under contract and they're young.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Absolutely.
It's a different feeling, and so,
especially because you had Hayward, the free agency looming over that whole season.
Right, exactly. Where it was like, man, this is so good, but is it gonna stay good?
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you know, people aren't just looking at next year. It's like, well, what are we gonna do? You know, even Mitchell is like, we're ready to compete for a championship for the next 5 years, and you know, I love the enthusiasm. We'll see. But
I mean, yeah, like, I mean, it all, like you said, it all depends on that internal development. Right now, we need a number one option. Like, if we were to compete for like a major playoff seeding and go far in the playoffs, we would need a Paul George right now. But just Paul George, and we'd probably be there right now. We'd be in the conversation for second, third round.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on how we develop, depending how Mitchell develops, like, maybe we need a second or third option. Depending on how good Mitchell gets. If he becomes our Paul George equivalent, then we need someone who's not Paul George. We need someone lower down. Obviously, Paul George would definitely still help us, and we'd be possibly looking at conference finals at that point. But it all depends on how Mitchell develops, who he becomes, how his shooting develops especially, and that'll kind of determine where we go.
Right. Does he turn into Dwayne Wade 2.0, or does he turn into, like, I don't know,
Brandon Jennings?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yep.
I would lean, you know, biased, I guess, but towards the Dwayne Wade, but we'll see.
Well, yeah, I think he's definitely heading that direction. His coachability, he's an awesome person.
Have I
talked to you about Donovan Mitchell recently?
Donovan Mitchell, what can he do for you?
He's really good.
By the way, I know I'm dragging on. Tomorrow night for the draft, he's going to be part of the ESPN crew to, like, in the draft room.
Oh, really? That's fun.
Yeah, because he's in New York doing some Adidas thing. I don't know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, no, future's bright. Jazz are doing great. Go Jazz. And that's all I got. Pope, you got anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's it. I'm excited about this offseason and this future. Just based on our track record the last few seasons, it's not the kind of thing where I'm worried anymore like I used to be. Like, all right, what overrated white guy are we drafting this draft? You know, like, I don't have that feeling in me anymore, which is really nice. So I'm excited about this offseason, and I'm excited to – we'll check back in after that, and we'll see what next year's looking like.
All right, sounds good, Pope. Talk to you later.
Peace.